Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Please welcome the wickedly talented Bam! Bam!
Hey fam, welcome to Hey Fam. My name is Levins.
I'm Angus.
We're just talking about Third Eye Blind. We're about to talk about Bill and Ted, all three movies, which we watched all three of in the last 3 days.
Semi-Charm Life still hands down, like, I know it has like big newly divorced uncle vibe, but fuck, that is such a good song that takes
me back.
Yeah,
it's the best. And it's also like about drugs, which is...
Oh, it's about like being addicted to meth. Something I've never been addicted to.
Yeah, he's like, then I bumped again.
Yeah.
I
remember when you checked the lyrics on Genius, which I'm doing now, you would just go, oh, it was literally about like a guy fucking someone on meth.
Well, I learned that while singing it in karaoke for the first time.
I love those moments in a karaoke, but you're like, oh, that's what that, oh, can we get the song off? Where you have that like moment of realization what it's about.
So
or
third,
like, play it again.
Third Eye Blind, Semi-Charm Kind of Life. Semi-Charm Life.
Sadly. You're confusing the chorus with the title.
It's an easy mistake.
Or it'd be nice if they had the bracket, like semi-charmed, then bracket, kinda
then and then life. Yeah, that's good.
Not enough brackets are in that's songs these days.
Really, really make it look like a Kingdom Hearts game. sadly, that song's not in Bill and Ted. But I think Third Eye Blind get GOAT status for life just because of... remember when they played like the Trump?
Semi-Charmed Life.
The Trump rally, but it's before he became president. They played like a Trump...
Did
show
they?
Yeah, but they didn't play
Semi-Charmed
Life, and they were like insulting all of the
so they were trolling.
Yeah, they were full on trolling
I've got the lyrics up.
Trolling the Trump thing.
There's a lot of do. So wait, how are they trolling by getting paid to perform it?
They were like, should I look up the article?
Yeah, in a way, I like that
I'll find some of the bands. Like, in between all the songs, they were like dedicating their songs to...
She's got a jaws now locked down in a smile. Like that's something you do on drugs. We tripped on the urge to feel alive, but now I'm struggling to survive. Those days you're wearing that velvet dress. You're the priestess, I must confess. Those little red panties, they passed the test. So slide up around the belly face down on the mattress. So this was a pop song that was like all over the radio. And he's like literally just smacking her on a mattress and just describing her underwear. It's so hectic. Doing crystal meth will lift. They're not even subtle. The lyric is literally,
yeah,
doing crystal meth will lift you up until you break. I won't stop. I won't come down. I keep stock with a TikTok rhythm, a bump for the drop. You think TikTok was invented because of meth? Or
maybe
Semi-Charm?
Third Eye Blind invented TikTok, I think is what we're getting at.
San Francisco band.
In 2017, August, Third Eye Blind played a convention. The Republicans... A Republican convention, a charity concert at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, and they would ask the crowd, like, knowing that the crowd was mostly Republican, they would say things like, "Who here believes in science?" And then
I just don't get why they were booked if they're anti-Trump.
And then they were like talking out, like speaking out in support of LGBTQI rights before.
So they thought they were Trojan horsing, maybe.
Yeah,
they got in there, but at the end of the day, they got a paycheck, unless they're like giving that money to.
And they even changed the lyrics to some of their songs. Like, no one would have noticed this, but he said, like,
I like the idea of Trump, someone like learning on his team that he's just like a huge semi-charmed kind of life guy.
And anyway, so they don't, this is the best line as well. The band, the Twitter users who posted videos of the show reported that the band played some of their more obscure music, like the 2009 song Non-Dairy Creamer, and left before performing their 1997 classic hit Semi-Charmed Life. And then like all these Republicans are tweeting at Third Eye Blind, and like this one girl, Elizabeth White, says, "I have never been more disappointed," and Third Eye Blind just wrote back, "Good."
What an absurd situation though, that like it's just... It's so funny, the fact that I keep calling them Semi-Charmed Life, but Third Eye Blind, I'm sure it's interchangeable.
Yeah.
They performed at a thing that they didn't want to, readily did, troll the audience, and then just like engaging with the people that went after the fact. That's some... Like,
oh, yeah.
That's some post-Trump like...
That's why I think they knew what they were doing. They were Trojan horsing themselves.
Because they mustn't have a lot of money. Like, you know what I mean? There's only so many teen movies that are getting made now, and they're all made on Netflix and are too woke to have like Semi-Charmed Life on the soundtrack. Like, the last time they were on a soundtrack was probably, like, Can't Hardly Wait or something, right?
Yeah.
Like, they need money. They need bank. What'd you do? Did you see...
I just remember... It was actually 2016 when it happened. do you remember there was, like, for a while, if you tweeted at Smash Mouth, they would write back to you?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I tweeted at Smash Mouth, "Shame on you for not performing Semi-Charmed Kind of Life at the Trump rally."
Did they write back?
Unfortunately, didn't write back. I know one of them... I think I made a joke about... Like, I just made...
Smash Mouth guy tweeted at me a few times. Yeah. I think he was like the guitarist. It wasn't like the Guy Fieri.
The guy who looks like Guy Fieri, yeah. Oh, here we go. I found it. So I tweeted at Smash Mouth, "What did you guys mean by your famous lyric? That's the impression that I get."
I mean,
and then Smash Mouth wrote back to me, "You should knock on wood."
That's great.
Yeah, so
that's actually funny. You can tell that the social media manager had some fun.
Don't they? They fucking suck though, right? Because
they just played at like a COVID gig that confirmed like hundreds of cases. Yeah. I think it was a bikey like rally or something.
There's like a spike in COVID cases.
They were like masks off, pussies. He's like fully raging now. There's that one. I mean, we've seen his deterioration over time. Steve Hen something his name is. I mean, the ultimate video is one that you and I have already spoken about on the pod, is him and Guy Fieri and him eating a variety of eggs from like quail to duck, I think.
One of the best. It's like an hour long YouTube video of
it's an amazing
Guy
saga.
Fieri cooking eggs for the...
I think it was Twitter user Fart, like famous Twitter shit poster from Something Awful, basically was tweeting at like Eat the Egg Smash Mouth for so long that they set up a charity event where basically I think the guy tweeting was like, "If you don't do this, you hate sick kids in hospital," and like blackmailed them. Was it something like that?
Yeah.
It's incredible. Like, we weren't...
It escalated justice. And then like the lead singer of Smash Mouth was like, "Fine, I'll eat the eggs."
Guy Fieri will prepare them.
And Guy Fieri like cooked all these
different
eggs.
And like 10 people
eggs.
Came and they made it an event like in a parking lot and like no one was there.
And it's all on YouTube. It's great.
So as I told you before I got here, I've been driving.
Yep. Last week you got home after driving. And you were like, "Oh, I drove home listening to Christmas carols."
Oh, yeah.
Like rocking around the Christmas
tree. So I have a Shazam
tree.
Playlist. And whenever like something comes up, I'm just like, "Oh, whatever. What's that?" Or, "Ooh, who sang that version?" I mean, I'm just describing Shazam. But it's usually TV shows. And I have them all add automatically to a playlist. And sometimes when I'm driving, I'm just like, "Hey, play my Shazam playlist." And it's like... insane, but I just got on like some real 50s rock and roll Christmas carols, like
the real Home Alone 2.
Yeah, vibes. Sick. They're such good songs. They're just like, how do we make these lame songs cool? Oh, Chuck Berry will play guitar on them.
Best song in Home Alone, like either of the two, sure, is Cool Jerk, the one that Uncle Frank sings in the shower in Home Alone 2.
Yeah.
Cool Jerk.
The one he records.
Well, yeah.
And then he plays it back when concierge and shit come. Yeah. I'm still a fan of the Michael Jordan cutout dancing, the running around. Yeah. Isn't that the... Yeah,
rocking
yeah.
around the yeah. Christmas tree.
Absolute belter.
We confirmed last week, Angus and I are going to our big Christmas episode this year. We're going to watch all five of the Home Alone movies.
I know there was three theatrical.
And then there's
four where they...
One's a straight to video and the other one is a Disney Channel.
ABC.
No. It came out years ago.
Because they're doing a new one as well for Disney Plus. I'm hoping it's this year.
Oh man, if it's this year, that'd be insane. Yeah.
It's insane, the deterioration of that series.
Well, so the first two are obviously classics. Mm. One, obviously, the
one
best,
is like the best Christmas film.
But two is still so much
fun. Fine.
Like, two is a much better sequel than another sequel we're going to be talking about tonight.
And it also stars Semi-Charmed Semi-Charmed Kind of Life's least favorite president.
So that those two are about the McAllisters. And then the second one,
they switch it up.
New actor, Alex D. Lins, I think is the name of the actor. Yeah. So new family.
Scarlett Johansson plays his older sister.
That's right.
Though probably her older brother. His older brother. Knowing Scarlett, always getting wacky with her older adopted black brother. Scarlett Johansson.
It was her choice to play that role.
I actually see this role as a black child you've just adopted who's 16. Oh, okay.
Go get
but it was still written by John Hughes.
Which yes, totally.
Do you think he was just on coke or something? I was like, yeah, sure, I'll write the third one for you.
But I think he also writes the fourth one.
I wonder what John Hughes, written by John Hughes, and that is in air quotes, starts to mean towards the end of his career. Like, is it just like, you know how like Andy Warhol didn't do any of his paintings by the end of it? And it was just like, by Andy Warhol, but it had like a team of people.
Well, because Home Alone kind of fucked John Hughes up, because in the 80s,
Macaulay Culkin.
In the 80s, he made a wild variety of movies. Obviously, totally. High School Romance was kind of like his forte.
Yeah.
But Uncle Buck
was like the in between when it was like getting kiddish. And Home Alone was like a year later.
And then he was just doomed to make kids films. Like, so Baby's Day Out. Yeah.
Dennis the Menace. Did you write?
Yes, I think so. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Getting Even with Dad. I think you wrote Getting Even with Dad.
I think you're right. Home Alone 3, different family. The fourth installment is called Home Alone 4, Taking Back the House. And it is a television film on ABC in 2002. And the film returns to the original's main character, Kevin McAllister, but he's played by a different actor.
That's right. It's in 2002. And it has the dude from Third Rock from the Sun playing Joe Pesci?
Playing Marv. So Daniel...
Daniel
Stern's character. French Stewart plays
that,
Marv.
Isn't that Harry?
No. Maybe you're right. Yeah, Marv. You're right. Shit, you're right. You are correct.
Yeah. Because in the poster, guy knows he has Pesci. the fisherman's beanie, if you will.
Too. Yeah.
I mean, what's his name again? The actor?
French Stewart.
French Stewart, just, you know, Joe Pesci, Oscar winner, like esteemed American actor, like powerhouse. French, like...
Yeah.
That's like the... What's a better upgrade from Rick Moranis as Barney Rubble to Billy Baldwin in Viva Rock Vegas? It's that energy.
Yeah, definitely.
But absolutely, also younger than Joe Pesci, but set afterwards.
Yeah, and then Missy Pyle plays like his sister, I think.
All right, she's like epitome of B-grade shit.
She's in like lots of sitcoms and she was in Galaxy Quest, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah.
Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay.
Okay, no, A-grade shit. No, you're right. Sorry, I take that back, Missy. Missy Pyle's a great name.
It's an amazing name. So is Fran Stewart. Like, as far as names go, those are two very good names.
Yeah, okay. Do you think they're like, look, we can't get them back? I love that it's called Taking Back the House.
And it was filmed in Melbourne. So a lot of our Melbourne listeners are home alone and have been for the last 11 weeks.
This is a spiritual lockdown movie.
Yeah.
This is sick.
So it's the first one that wasn't theatrically released. Then the last one.
I had no idea of this
Home one. Alone, The Holiday Heist came out 10 years after that one in 2012. Mm. And it was on ABC Family.
Wait, so 4 went to the cinema? No.
No, they're just like TV, really. TV Christmas movies.
What's that one? The Holiday Heist.
This one has Malcolm McDowell in it.
Oh. he will do anything, though.
And...
what are we looking for?
Sorry, I just remembered. In Home Alone 3, the burglars are actually working for a North Korean terrorist group.
Okay. Do you think they're like you got to update it a bit?
Yeah, no, I'm just going to look on. Weird choice.
There's like heaps of them too, right?
ABC in America did something called the Countdown to the 25 Days of Christmas in 2012.
Repulsive.
And this was like the big exclusive they got.
what, the rights to do a shit Home
So
Alone
it's about now? The Baxter family. And
so Disney Plus only has 1, 2, and 3. 4's not on there.
Yes, so we need to illegally track down someone in the PayFam Discord. It's not going to be up to you. Find us Home Alone 4 and 5 so we can do our deep dive.
How bootleg is that dumb kid?
It's just insane. Malcolm McDowell is one of the burglars in Home Alone 5.
Do you think his agent was immediately fired or sodomized?
He's actually done so much weird shit.
Yeah, like, but he popped up in something the other day and I was like, oh, Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah. I remember he plays
like
an English person in South Park.
He was like, oh, come this way.
I'm an English person.
What was it? I was watching something. I was like, oh, Malcolm McDowell, I guess.
Ed Asner is in it too. Wow, there's some weird actors in this. But yeah, we should definitely watch these shitty Home Alone TV movies. I saw Home Alone 3.
Is Malcolm McDowell in I'm Thinking of Ending Things? No, he's not. I'm just trying to think of movies I've seen.
Was he in
Empire Strikes Back?
Was he in The O.C.?
No. But I kind of would wish he was now, and I actually can't get... You've incepted me with Malcolm McDowell being in The O.C.
He was a voice in Bolt.
I think he was in Tiger King. I think.
Really?
No,
he was maybe one of the Tigers. He was a voice in Call of Duty Black Ops 3. It might be what you're thinking of.
Oh, that's right.
You replay that every week.
I patch all of my Call of Duties to have Kevin Spacey in them after he was one of them.
He's got a crazy fucking career.
Who, Malcolm McDowell?
Malcolm McDowell, just like...
He just does like kid shit. Actually, yeah. Is this down the bottom? Get to... see what...
Do you want to do TV or do you want to do... now he just does like
voices. It wasn't TV. It was a film. You know, I've never watched television. I only read manga.
I can confirm that Malcolm McDowell was not in The O.C.
Go back to the newer films.
Newer films. Okay, where are we looking here? We're looking at The Big Ugly. Did you watch that?
No, I don't
Bombshell.
Know that is.
American no. Satan. Death Race 2050. Did you watch that one?
I fucking wish I did.
Cowboys and Engines.
Is that a sequel to...
Kids versus Monsters.
Yeah, he's in some good shit these days. Yeah, damn. I guess I don't know what it was.
Meet the Small Potatoes. He played Lester Cooper.
Silent Hill Revelation 3D. That's sick.
Wow. Has he not been in anything good in like a decade?
I think he just... Yeah, he's that. Let's see what happens. Okay, I take that back.
He was
back
in down the Artist.
Oh, wow. Remember when everyone pretended they liked The Artist?
I liked The Artist.
I bet if you watched it now, you'd be like, fucking hell. Go back down.
He was in a movie called Suck in 2009.
Go back down to TV. Maybe it was a TV show he popped up in. He's been in so much
TV, bro.
But I mean, like recently.
Kung Fu Panda, Legends of Awesomeness. You watched that one?
No, wasn't that.
Community?
No. Nah.
Wally Kazam?
No, it was live action.
Star Wars Rebels.
No, it was... Man, I can't even remember it. Don't worry about it. Let's forget about it. It's a horrible thing.
It would actually take us an entire hour to read his entire...
Oh, besides rock and roll songs, on the way over, I thought, and I was like, I couldn't get this thought out of my head. What is more admirable, do you think? Like, what do you think garners more respect? Shitting yourself or pissing yourself? And I honestly feel like the whole ride, I was in a meditative state just going... What's cooler, shitting yourself?
I don't think shitting yourself is cool.
No, that's what I arrived at. I was like, I think pissing yourself is kind of like...
Pissing yourself
as an adult, it's kind of funny.
I think it's more acceptable. I don't know if it's like...
Shitting yourself is like, are you okay? Or like, we need to talk. Like, because it's now, like once you hit an age, it's associated with like partying hard.
Yeah.
Pissing yourself is also like, oh, I got scared. Like, it's like a humorous... I was like, it's kind of good when you get an adult and you just like... Or it's like a flex. You're like, I actually don't care anymore. I just piss my pants. Like some weird, because I remember reading Michael Jackson in his like final years, he was so deranged that when he went to the toilet, he would just take his pants off and shit on the ground and leave. And like his minors would have to come in and like,
oh God,
just, like you reach a point of just, I'm not even supposed to be here anymore. Like I'm off this world that you start like pissing. I don't know. And I was like,
so this is what you're doing while listening to Christmas songs.
Yeah. I was like, is a controlled piss a power move? A controlled piss of the pants more so than shitting? No adult nappies involved or diapers if you're American.
I mean...
What would you rather do when walking... Like, because like a shit you can see or more to a degree. Piss, you're straight up showing like...
No, because it's the smell, man.
But you might be in like the fish markets where it's already an abundance of... Like another factor is there could be another smell and it's just kind of caught and you're just chilling going, I've shit myself. They're dark pants. I don't think anyone will
see.
But
when you walk, you can feel it. I feel like you have to
deal
with...
The piss, you're feeling it too. It's
but like that eventually
you can get
dries.
Like a rash or something.
Yeah, but what do you think? Your butt's going to get all burned up from the shit, your shit?
I'm not defending shitting here either. I think pissing's the way to go. But like a controlled power move to piss your pants and go like, yeah, I did it. Just is like, I think there's something like admirable about that. Just being like, oh, do you need to go to the toilet?
I took one for the team.
And you're like, it's pretty full. And you just quiet for a few moments and like, what are you doing? You're like, I just piss. Let's get out of here. I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
I've known a lot of people at music festivals who piss their pants.
Just because they're like, fuck it, cheap.
They want to watch the band and they're too high and the bathrooms are too far away.
See, that's the too high. I mean, like sobering, I'm pissing right now because I'm powerful. Like, I have no shame because I have such an elite status.
Melbourne comedian Nick Kappa. I was on his podcast years ago. I don't even know what it was. What, not Phone Hacks, the one they had before Phone Hacks. And we...
Serial.
He told... Yeah, Serial.
S-Town.
But he actually pissed his pants twice while watching me DJ at Meredith Music Festival in 2015.
You should put that on posters. It should be like, good enough to piss your pants. Like, the same set?
Yeah, the same set. Yeah, yeah,
he like just kept pissing. This is so disgusting. I love it. Do you think, was he, did he want to do that?
He had no choice. He was just super high. Didn't want to
If he was not high, I would have nothing but respect for that decision. Right. Just like, I'm pissing myself and it's my choice. I think it's sick. I was thinking about it a lot. And by the time I got to your street, I was like, there's something like I would be, I was putting myself in the pisser and the like the pissee. I get, no, who is the person who sees the piss? The pissed on. Not
no,
like,
no.
By proxy, you're pissed on.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I was like,
pissed off.
I would be so impressed by somebody who explained to me that they pissed themselves by choice and were like, that's right. And like, try to make me feel bad for even considering that it wasn't their choice to piss themselves. Like, and they're able-bodied, you know, they don't have like tubes and shit.
Billy
out.
Madison.
Billy Madison. Oh yeah. Okay. Maybe that's why. Maybe there was some deep-seated like, fuck yeah, that really rubbed off on me.
So yeah, it's obviously a but real, the shit real nice is
just like, I just guess it's like, it gets a little sadder faster.
Way faster.
Where piss is just like
incontinence. Like,
piss is sick. You're just like, okay, let's take it back to the fish markets. You're like, just dive in the water and you're like, well, now what? Now I'm all wet. And you're just kind of like, oh my God, this guy's great. Can you adopt
dive,
me?
Dive in the water at the fish markets.
I've also been, I guess, the reason why I brought up the fish markets, I've been taking a lot of walks and there's like a big body of water near them and a lot of boats. I've really been like thinking about living on a boat and how good that would be for like a year or two.
Yeah. Like I owned a boat growing up.
With your family?
It was a small boat.
Yeah.
I used to sail like small boats.
I mean
boats.
Like this size of your kitchen and just like, yeah, I'll live in the harbor for a year as a boat guy. That's like, I think like a very good
move. Yeah, one of my mates from high school lived on a boat for a while.
Who?
Benny, you don't know.
Oh, no. I knew that another guy that you went to high school with had a boat who ended up
That's true.
With. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of for a while. But I've just been thinking a lot about boats lately and wetness. And I guess it came out on the way here and I was like, oh, I want to ask you what you would be more respected by.
Yeah, piss, definitely.
Are you more respected when your kids piss themselves or shit themselves? Like, what's been
easier for you? Oh, it's way easier to clean up. Well, I mean, I don't know, because like if they wet their bed, you've got to strip everything. I mean, but then you probably do for shit anyway. Thankfully, my kids have never shat the bed, so it's fine.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I have. As an adult,
yeah,
I haven't.
No, definitely not.
I don't think so. As an adult, I've peed the bed.
I'm well, yeah, like Tilly's pretty much past. No, as in, as in she's almost like she can wear undies to bed now and doesn't, I'm past that point in my life
where
now.
You're like, that's sick.
Don't even have to worry about wet sheets.
It's just funny. I mean, I know it's bad for like people.
Man, Archie was just completely unaware when he was like, when we were toilet training him at night, for the night sleeps.
He's just like, fuck a dog.
He just wouldn't be aware, just wet his bed like and would have no idea. And then he would just wake up and he was covered in piss. And so we had to get this alarm that you like, onto his undies.
And it gets wet.
Yeah, but it has the same sound chip as, you know, like when you buy like, go to a dollar store and it has like a ray gun.
Yep.
And it has like, and it has like 9 sound effects that it cycles through every time you pull the trigger. Yeah, so that would be what, that was the same sound chip in his alarm.
That's so funny.
Would go off and it would be like, Neew!
That's the worst. That also like
it
very
was
funny.
So loud. That's like someone were like wah, 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 wah.
That is like extremely funny though. Like you
so
piss
funny.
Yourself and it's a digitized bomb dropping. I want to get one. I want to wear one around.
And eventually it got to this point, but like the first few nights, it would just be me waking up to hearing those laser noises and him out cold.
Kid, and this guy can't go to a dollar store and buy a shitty gun anymore.
Yes.
He starts pissing himself.
But yeah, eventually it's meant to get to the point where like you hear the alarm, you wake yourself up, you stop yourself from peeing and you finish it in the bathroom. And then you eventually get used to the feeling that you get when, So
I pissed myself as an adult once when I drank way too much and my parents, I had to move back home because I was ahead of the curve. It was pre-Are You Okay days. There was six months to a year where I had to move home when I was like 20 after I'd moved out 2 years earlier. And just got absolutely thrashed at Kiko's house for his 21st. I drank like a bottle of tequila in like 10 seconds on top of like 20 beers.
Nice, bro.
Narrowly avoided stomach pumping, but
yep.
didn't bend backwards enough a la Neo, who is an actor we'll be talking about soon, to dodge the bed pissing and being woken up by my parents being like, what have you done? It's Mother's Day and you pissed the bed. That was like the lowest point of my life. And then my dad gave me a copy of the Da Vinci Code to read.
Just to what be was like, his reasoning?
I don't know, you know how it's hard to talk to dads. You know how sometimes
your dads don't know how to talk to their sons. But, yeah. But Dan,
he's
Dan
just like,
Brown.
I just read this. You should check it out. Drove me to the beach and just sat on the beach reading the Da Vinci Code.
Da Vinci?
Wondering if like this was worse than having a conversation I didn't want to have. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Angus introduced the kids to TikTok last week with those two like airhead blonde
twins.
They're
wrestlers, I found out.
Yeah, right. And then it's like, I can't remember.
Name this artist. Oh, who painted the Mona Lisa?
That's right. And then it says Da Vinci, and they both go Da Vinci, like in unison.
It's like legitimately
funny.
It's a
beautiful loop. Yeah.
Yeah. Da Vinci.
We're 25 minutes in.
Da Vinci Code is such a good situation.
I think we should make this pay, fam.
I don't care. No, let's just see what happens. But it's good now already. Imagine how good PayFam's going to be.
Yeah, true.
This will entice people to get PayFam.
All right. Well, let's all a quick plug for PayFam. PayFam is what we do after we record HeyFam every single week. This week, we're going to be talking about the Mario 3D collection.
Yeah, pissing yourself.
Pissing yourself versus shitting yourself. What's the winner?
It's I know what one.
Pissing yourself on
Nintendo
Switch.
Oh, you just
Nintendo
closed all
Switch.
Your rings.
Did I? Oh,
yeah,
cool, bro.
That's nice.
Fucking sick. Also, we're going to talk about...
Noon closes his in his sleep by like thrashing, and I'll get like alerts the next morning. He's like...
He goes
like,
to sleep wearing his watch?
Yeah, I don't know why. And then he complains, I think, when the battery runs out the next day.
It's baffling.
Well...
Noon. We're also going to be talking about Hades, the very, very sick game.
And also Switch. The realm of the underworld.
Yeah.
We'll also discuss Hades.
Hades, the
like
concept.
The game, but also...
The man.
Yeah. Oh, is he a man? I thought it was a place.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, Hades is.
It's
a
state
hell.
Of mind.
Yeah.
I'm there.
And also, I'm going to be ranking the Mission Impossible movies, having finally seen all six of them.
So good.
Including the first
15 minutes. Why wouldn't you want to pay for one of those things? Imagine all of them in one episode.
So you can get that after we were finished recording at patreon.com/heyfam.
Oh, and then we have a Discord you can join where we might possibly do a would you rather... control piss or control shit yourself poll. And the only way you'll find out the answers.
But... for this episode, we're going to be talking about the trilogy
the
of
Bat
movies.
Trilogy. And we're not talking about Michael Keaton. We're talking about Bill and Ted. That means Bat.
Spanning 30
something. Well, the first one was 89.
And the most recent one came out just this month.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
33, I guess.
Bill and Ted Face the Music. So we've watched all three of them. I watched all three of them in the last 2 days.
Same.
And
maybe the last 3 days. I don't know.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure for me was like one of my absolute favorite movies growing up. It's
a perfect film.
It's so
I think it is. I think it's like it's a movie that could not be made now, which is something we'll talk about with the third one.
Yep.
But it's just such like a beautiful era of those characters existing, like
Alex
in the
Winter
world.
And Keanu Reeves as Bill and Ted are just such a joy to watch.
Yeah.
Like I love Alex Winter in The Lost Boys as well. Yeah. And obviously Keanu, you know,
blossomed
for like, you know, that was a jumping off point for him to eventually become Neo.
Keanu became, he did John Wick, the
Parenthood,
the Holiday House, or someone where he writes a letter to the
Chain Reaction with Morgan Freeman,
Johnny Mnemonic.
Bram Stoker's Dracula,
Matrix Revolutions. that weird romantic one with like
in that
Jack Black and Rose Byrne, maybe
Key and Peele's Keanu. He's
oh
in
yeah,
that. That's a good movie.
John Wick 2.
Yep. John Wick 3.
John Wick 3 Parabellum. So I've never liked that they started introducing subtitles in the third John Wick. It's like either stick with the numbers or pick a.
Yeah, that is weird. It's like the PlayStation, and they're not going to suddenly call it like PlayStation 5.
It should just be called John Wick 3. I don't know what Parabellum means. I don't like Tool.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't on me. I shouldn't have to learn that word.
Our friend Joel Dusha accused me of being a Tool fan because I mentioned the Fibonacci sequence last week.
No, that's just your Asperger's son.
Yeah, my son is just a big maths head. I took him to the park yesterday. Within 5 minutes, he found some kid that was two years older than him. And they were talking about, he was like, oh, the other kid was like, I'm the best at maths in my class. And Archie's like, same, I'm the best at maths in my class.
Did you piss your pants and go, and then kids, Archie is
was
the
like,
best.
And then Archie's like, if you're so good at maths, what's 14 times 15? And the other kid didn't know. And then Archie's like, it's this.
Can't believe your son was bullying a kid with maths.
No.
That's when you'd need to piss your pants and go Billy Madison style. And go, you know what's cooler than maths?
At least he's not a Tool fan.
I mean, yeah, I guess not. I was going to say, is maths a gateway to Tool? And then I realized it's not. It's Napster and a dial-up modem.
And an inability to talk to the opposite sex.
Yeah, I'll never like Tool, despite being forced to see them twice with a friend who took me along.
You know my burning teenage shame. I traded a copy of The Downward Spiral by Nine Inch Nails for Anima or whatever
it
is by Tool.
They're so superior. Nine Inch Nails are great. Trent Reznor rules. I'll always love what he says about anything.
Trent Reznor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember he delayed an album because he was obsessed with Metroid Prime. that was like the thing. I think like an album just got so delayed because he was so hooked on Metroid Prime, which is something I would respect.
Mm.
It's like an acceptable excuse. So Bill and Ted, time traveling babies.
Bill and Tool.
See, it's amazing. One thing, the time travel, before the third movie, that was all they did in the first one. And it's interesting to think like they barely time travel in the second, but they're so associated with time travel.
Yeah. So had you not seen Bogus Journey until
this
week?
No, I saw it at the cinema.
Right. Okay,
my dad
cool.
took me as a 5-year-old. My dad, I saw Batman 89, Ghostbusters 2, like as a 4 to 5-year-old. And what was that one? Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Before I saw Excellent Adventure. Like Elevens is chasing the rabbit. And that is not a euphemism for chasing the dragon.
Just stop digging in my house. What are you trying to dig through floorboards for?
I know, he's like a trapped boy.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure is like
it's a perfect film.
It's so good, and it's such a it's aged well. Like it's one of those
aged
things.
So well, especially the line
so
where they
80s.
Call each other.
Yeah, okay. There's one,
it hasn't aged that well.
There's one word in Excellent Adventure and Bogus Journey, which is repeated a few times, that they should maybe think about editing. But
they said it a few times and they say it again in the sequel.
In Bogus Journey. They say it more in Bogus Journey than Excellent Adventure. It's whenever they hug, they then call each other the F word.
I mean, also...
Fart.
You know, not apologizing for it, but I did read that these characters were born out of the writers doing like they went to like improv or sketch comedy, and they were sending up like meathead dudes, like loser guys. But also, it's not that clever that they're being post-irony by using derogatory homosexual slurs.
They don't say it once in Face the Music. I'm going to have to dock points.
I think the more, I'm starting to think now, the more times they say it in a movie, the better the movie. No, it's not true.
No, Bogus Journey, they say it the
if
most.
You use it well once, that means that's the Fibonacci scale for Bill and Ted.
So yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, I assume everyone's seen Bill and Ted, but it is like, it's a time traveling comedy. At its heart though, our main characters, these two slacker dumbasses, all they want to do is pass their English,
or they're going to flunk
out history. Sorry, their history exam, which is a talk in which they have to talk about people from the
they live
the past
in San Dimas
and say what they think of San Dimas.
Yeah,
California.
And if
California.
They flunk, Ted's going to get sent to military school and break up their band Wild Stallions, which is like shitty garage band. But then there are George Carlin comes from the future and
Rufus.
Tells them that their band saves the world and unites all people.
Yeah, unites the
unites
universe.
The universe. And like the very fabric of the future relies on Wild Stallions being a functioning band.
So you have in the background this very high stakes thing that requires Bill and Ted to save the day. But the main focus for our main characters is very low stakes. All they want to do is pass this history exam. And they do that by going through time and stealing, like, basically taking...
Collecting
like,
by accident.
Yeah, so Billy the Kid, Napoleon steals the show.
Napoleon, like, I bet Rowan Atkinson started sweating for Mr. Bean-style humor.
Yeah, and I think that's... I mean, that was another problem I had with Face the Music, and we'll get to a lot of those later, but... what really works is that you have these, like, you know, Abraham Lincoln, I guess, is the most talkative of the people from out
Freud
from history that talks.
Yeah, Freud.
For the most part, they just kind of say, like, yeah, I mean, Freud will just kind of say random German stuff.
Who else was that? Oh,
Joan of Arc.
Man, Beethoven goes off in the music shop.
Socrates. Yeah. The figures from history fucking up the mall is just such a great scene. It's so many good scenes. And like whenever they go back in time, it is you can like, oh, that's just a soundstage.
Oh yeah.
Or whatever
great.
At a they just know, look back like, lot.
Yeah.
But it's just done so well. Like they save princesses.
I think
like,
the best thing too about the movies is the pacing. They're just there's no excess. You're just like, oh, it's cool. This is a 90-minute movie.
But also, that's one thing I can say great about the trilogy. You can watch this entire trilogy
in a sitting
in 4.5 hours because they're all 90 minutes long. But yeah, I mean, excellent adventure, amazing pacing in that it feels really, really quick. There's no dull moments, but also it's so laid back.
Yeah.
It's just
it relies on their relationship though, like Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves' chemistry and just like love of one another.
They're
the
such
PlayStation
a joy to
scene
watch.
Is so good too, where their future selves, like I love that to me is one of my favorite time travel things seen where like they don't show you this. One of the big like time travel tropes, I guess, in movies is like you see people do something and then you see that their
like
past selves like discover it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I like that they're just like thinking it and then because they've thought about their future self doing it, then it's there.
And
like,
they revisit that.
It's such a low stakes way of doing it. And they do that in the third one.
And the second one too. Yeah.
That's right. When they
but it's the best in the first one with the key and like
so good.
And the bucket.
It's so good. Yeah. It's just, it's so charming. They're such dickheads.
The guy who plays Ted's dad is like so good.
Oh yeah.
Like there's like hung
he's
up
like the
police
blueprint for like straight dads.
Yeah, totally. Like a Simpsons character.
Totally.
Like a Skinner or Chalmers.
The dad from Step Brothers wouldn't exist. the dad from Bill and Ted ran so the dad from Step Brothers could walk.
But he's like, he hasn't been in much. He's like mostly a theatrical
actor.
It's
so funny seeing all the legacy. One thing I really lacked in the third one was like everybody is literally in it. Like actor-wise.
Yeah, the guy who plays Ted's dad holds the record for the actor who's portrayed Ebenezer Scrooge the most time on stage.
Big energy, yeah, I see that. Cranky old dude.
He played, he's performed for the last time as Scrooge like a couple years ago.
He hung up his nightcap.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But yeah, I love Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I always loved it. I saw it very young and at a friend's house. And then when the sequel was on television one night, I begged my dad to tape it for me. And the next day...
Did your dad edit? I remember your dad
the next day we watched
of...
the first bit of Bogus Journey together. And when the Bill and Ted evil robots kill Bill and Ted and throw them off the cliff and then spit on them and then call them the F word, Dad was like, you're not watching this movie, Andrew. So I didn't watch that movie until someone gave me both movies on DVD.
Also simultaneously, earlier my dad's taken me to see it at the cinema and just like hasn't shown me the first one. I'm just sitting there going like...
Oh, so weird. So you saw Bogus Journey first?
Yeah, as 5 or 6 year old. I remember going to the movies to see it and thinking it was so cool that I saw it.
So you, like, and I both had this idea that, like, oh, you know, Bogus Journey is such a weird movie. It must have been written and directed by a completely different team who did the first
directed
one.
Different. Written the same.
Same writers. And there is some very funny stuff about those writers that I cannot wait to tell you. There's some amazing connections to movies that we've spoken about, like infamous Hey Fam movies.
I think there's some Kevin Smith links, right?
I'm not sure.
He hosted, as I was looking today, the Comic-Con panel with them this year.
There's another beloved franchise, another beloved Hey Fam franchise that was written by one of the writers of all three Bill and Ted movies.
Diary of a Wimpy Kid?
We'll get there, bro. Diary of a Simpy Kid, was not written.
Bill and Ted's Simp Adventure?
So Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey is, I mean, they do warn you, it's not an excellent adventure. Bogus means bad.
From the get up, you're like, this ain't, we ain't where we used to be, baby.
They ditch the time travel element. Instead, we get robots from the future.
Well,
look like Bill and Ted. That, yeah, you're right. But I mean, like, the core conceit of the movie.
The fashion is amazing, that opening university.
Yes.
Like, big shoes, crazy. Like, what was it, 91? I still think it's the best future clothes I've seen.
Oh, there's some beautiful shots in this movie in general. And, like, I went into this going, like, oh, this is the one I don't like.
And it's so weird. Might I call it the Majora's Mask of the Bill and
Ted? It's so weird. I loved it. I was like, oh, actually, there's so many good moments in these movies, especially the first half hour.
The death game scene where he's like best out of three, and then best Melvin out of him. Seven.
Yeah.
It's just like so good.
Damn right.
Yeah.
The guy who plays Death is so good. He's another theatrical actor as
he's
well.
He's great. Yeah.
And he shows up in the third one too.
Yeah. He was like one of the best things in the third one, right?
Yeah, definitely. But I think the Bogus Journey for me falls apart when they go to heaven and meet an alien called Station.
It gets like, very Doctor Who, very fast.
Yeah, he looks like the fucking Gobbledock. This, like, chips, like this, like, crisps.
That's the first thing I thought. I was like, oh, he looks exactly like the Gobbledock.
Like, it was an Australian chips mascot who, like, ate everyone's chippies.
Yeah, Smith's Chips.
Yeah.
And he's become this, like, I know, put him on the flag, obviously. But also, he's just become this, like, relic of a time. But yeah, big Station. Who played Station?
It's Frank Welker, who does pretty much whenever there's an animal in a Disney movie or an episode of The Simpsons or Futurama. Like, Frank Welker is the voice of Nibbler. Like,
oh, we were talking about this before.
And he's the voice of like pretty much every Disney animal, be it like a dog or a raccoon from Pocahontas.
So he just was like, can you do Station 100 times in different voices?
Yeah, so he does the voices for Station with another guy.
Why are they two then one?
I don't know. I think it's just a weird... Like, that's the thing. Like, they I have to admire how bold and insane Bogus Journey is. And it still feels like you have the spirit of the first movie. And like, Bill and Ted is still so fun to watch get into all this anarchy.
I love that they've left high school and they live together with their girlfriends.
Yes.
Or they don't live with their girlfriends, but they live together. They're still best friends.
And it's still good. Like, you have like the background stakes is like, you know, oh, if Bill and Ted don't win this time, then yeah, the universe is in peril once again.
Yeah.
And
Pam Grier as they're like,
yes, Pam
Rufus
rules,
in
she's
disguise.
So hot. And then she's Rufus, and Rufus is hot too.
Yeah, it's sick. Some real big MVP actors in these films. Seriously.
But the
Miss Wardrobe, is that a name?
It's like Wardrobe. Yeah.
I was like, that's a funny name.
The stakes for them are still, they just want to win. They want to win Battle of the Bands.
Yeah.
That's like, but, and also they want to save their
wives.
But
they have to win.
So like, they want to save the princesses from getting murdered. That's their main, like the stakes are slightly higher for them this movie, but they don't really pay attention to saving
the
universe.
The contest.
They just know that at some point they become like these, you know, awesome rockers.
And then they, my favorite is that them figuring out the only way they can beat robot killer versions of themselves is to build robots to fight them. It's just like...
And they build these like shitty scrap metal robots.
It's so good. It's so sick.
Who actually take out the evil robots like effortlessly.
Yeah, it's amazing. I was like, damn, I like those robots.
And I think what really works about... what works about Bogus Journey is that, like, you have all these insane premises and characters and things that happen to Bill and Ted, and beyond like a no way, like they just kind of roll with it, like now this is happening.
Their attitudes are very positive.
Yeah,
their vocabulary is very warm and loving. I think there's
one thing I don't understand is when they say that this is most non-heinous, because heinous is also bad, like bogus.
Heinous is just bad.
But they, when they say something is non-heinous, that means it's good, right?
Yeah. What were they saying that in?
When, like, they say it multiple times when things are bad.
I would say this is mostly heinous. Oh, this
is most non-heinous. At one point he says, this is most non-heinous.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's their stupidity coming through.
Yeah, I don't know. That's my only gripe. But Bogus Journey also, I hate the part where they have to face their fears.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. It gets very Pee Wee's Big Adventure nightmare sequence.
Yeah, so Frank Welker also doing the voice of like the Easter Bunny who Ted is scared of.
And then Alex Winter playing his grandma.
Yes, that's very good.
Always funny to see a guy dress up as a woman. Like
with gross, scary hands teeth. Down.
It's just funny. Yeah. It's humor. Like, I'm sorry. I know you can go to clown school in France, but unless you're putting on makeup... dressing up like a granny.
But yeah, that's
true clowning.
The set design in Bogus Journey is amazing.
Oh, it's huge.
And the part where they dive into Ted's father's head to control him.
Oh, that's great.
It's so good. And when they, like, you know, whenever they go, excellent, and then like drill. And
the dad's really good at it.
He plays like blues guitar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the dad's really good at it. Or, like folky Americana shit.
It's so good. Yeah. So the first movie was directed by Stephen Herrick. And the second one was developed by Pete Hewitt. Let's see what their other credits are. So
it's all horseshit, I guarantee it.
So Stephen Herrick directed The Mighty Ducks.
Interesting.
The Three Musketeers, Mr. Holland's Opus, and 101 Dalmatians.
So just like
classic. Oh, and the movie Rockstar.
Oh, is that the one with
Mike Wahlberg and Jennifer Aniston movie?
Huge.
And then he's on lots of TV shit. Man of the House with Tommy Lee Jones.
The great Gilly Hopkins, Reverse Runner. They sound like horse shit.
Yeah, some horse shit there for sure.
Let's not look at them too much longer.
Pete Hewitt, Bogus Journey, The Borrowers.
The Thunderbirds live action movie? Garfield?
Thunderbirds and also another movie called Thunderpants.
Yeah, when you got Thunder on the brain, you just got to keep doing films.
Do you know about the Thunderpants? The guy who could fart so much he becomes an astronaut?
Very cool. Very British. I don't even need to know that movie's made in England.
Yeah, he hasn't got that good of a...
They're all just like...
Oh my God, dude, he directed Home Alone, The Holiday Heist.
This is perfect.
That's amazing.
This is sick. There's a reason why we were listening to Malcolm Rock and McDowell, Roll Christmas Starling, Carols.
Home Alone, The Holiday Heist.
So this guy stood in the same room as Keanu Reeves, Alex Winter, and Malcolm McDowell. That's some deathbed shit.
But they were both written by Chris Matheson and Ed Solomon.
Sure.
And they were also the writers of Bill and Ted... Face the Music,
which has been in like what development for 20 plus years.
Oh, yeah, right.
They've been wanting to make it since like late early noughties.
The director Dean Parasot was booked for the gig like 8 years ago, 2012. But his direction credits, Galaxy Quest is his big movie, Fun with Dick and
it's
Jane.
It's funny, like what's her name, Missy.
He did Red 2 as well.
Oh, yeah.
The Bruce Willis
it's like
being based on a
just amazing that Red 1 and Red 2 were films.
Yeah.
And I think they showed one of them in the Dendy pre-roll all the time. Just, you know, when they show like arty movies like Amelie and stuff, I think they show a shot from Red. It's just so funny.
You know the Red comic?
Yeah, it's a comic, right?
It's like really good. But actually, I shouldn't recommend it because Warren Ellis is a predator. Oh, well.
Like Alien versus? Or yeah, like yeah. Bad no, sexual. Sex. Yeah, the bad one.
The bad one. Not the cool guts
Alien
ripping
versus
out one.
Is a good predator.
Yeah, definitely.
But then the sex one, get away from me.
It'd be weird.
Please, not actually
the,
get away
predator,
from
me. The predator from Predator gets cancelled.
That'd be sick.
So Bill and Ted Face the Music. It came out this year. It's like it's showing in Australia at cinemas.
So is it cinemas here, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can also watch it on video on demand in the States and around the world. If you
VOD.
If you were...
Vibe on dick. That's what you do when you piss your pants on purpose.
So we watched all three. I loved watching Excellent Adventure again. I actually quite enjoyed Bogus Journey a lot more than I thought I would. I think the ending is really fun. I love when like they perform Kiss's cover of God Gave Rock and Roll to you.
So weird that they... I was like, even like... I was like, okay, so they win by playing a Kiss song?
Yeah, I guess
Kiss
so.
Recorded it. Yeah.
It's a good rock and roll song.
Great use of newspapers to further the story in the credits.
Yeah, they're really funny. Yeah. I saw one of the best cameos is the dude from Faith No More.
Oh, yeah, he's in two. That's journey. Right. Yeah, yeah,
what
yeah,
a
yeah.
shithead.
Yeah, yeah. He gets brought in the classroom at the start by Rufus.
With Mozart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Who is also in...
Three, you're right.
Face of Music.
Yeah. So...
They really abuse just plucking people from time, don't they?
I mean, I guess if you're going to revisit something, it's kind of... So there's two main plots going on in Bill and Ted Face the Music. You have the now old Bill and Ted who have not fulfilled the destiny of uniting the universe yet.
They are still wild stallions, but they play like Taco Tuesday Leagues Club vibes. Yeah.
And so the daughter of Rufus, who is played by Kristen Schaal, she basically brings them to the future where her mother informs Bill and Ted that if they don't produce the song that's supposed to unite the universe
folds in
itself. in like an hour and a bit, then it's the end of the universe. And so Bill and Ted like kind of, they travel throughout time to meet older versions of themselves in the hope of finding the song.
and they're having some marital problems too.
Yes.
And they have daughters, and Billy is Ted's daughter and Thea is Bill's daughter.
And so Billy and Thea have their own journey where they go back in time to find musicians to help write the song that Bill and Ted are supposed to write.
Yeah.
And it's the musicians they go back in time and get are Jimi Hendrix,
Louis Armstrong,
Mozart,
Kid Cudi,
and Kid Cudi.
And is there a cave woman?
A cave man who plays drums and Ling Lun, a legendary figure from Chinese folklore who plays the flute. And it takes a while to get going. It really feels like a telemovie.
Yeah.
I hate the
vibe was telling. But then again, I did watch it on a TV screen. I'm wondering how much.
I watched the other two on a TV screen too.
Sure.
And I've only ever seen the Bill and Ted's on TV screens, and they've always felt like movies to me.
Only seen one of the big pictures big old silver screen.
But the biggest problem I had like from the get-go was that Bill and Ted, the stakes are huge for them now because they basically have to find this song to save the universe. And the time is ticking, and they're not so much reacting to these crazy situations and rolling with it. They spend the entire, like every situation they're in, like, whoa, dude, whoa, 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 whoa.
Very surprised, like, all the time.
They're never mellow, you know? It's like, it feels forced having them be like stressed.
Yeah. Though I found Alex Winter to be much better than Keanu, I thought.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah.
He's like Bill. Where I found Keanu was kind of like...
Well, he's just kind of Keanu. Like,
yeah. But Ted was more chill. Like, Ted had that, like... I guess maybe age has a lot to do with it, but it was like that young glimmer Keanu where now he's like quite stoic and wooden. Not wooden like in a bad way, but that's like Keanu.
Yeah, totally.
But where Alex still just seemed more like expressive and like you had that youthful glimmer vibe. I don't know.
I mean, it's him, Alex Winter, and his story to get to this point. Like, I feel bad not loving this movie, but...
So he had a, speaking of Predators, he had like a horrible time as a child actor, I believe.
Yeah.
Quit acting essentially after Bogus Journey, I guess, and then focus on like writing and directing. But he's releasing a doco, I think, about like his experience with his abuse and stuff. He said the person who abused him is dead. And yeah, he sounds like he had like a horrible...
There's been a lot of stories.
Heinous.
In the lead up to this movie coming out about his PTSD.
Yeah. And he went back to like acting school or had lessons on set to like learn how to act again, basically. Because he'd like really disappeared into like the production side of shit. But yeah, man, seeing him do that, I was like, oh man, he's like far more... Maybe Keanu could have gone to an acting lesson or two too.
Well, I mean, Keanu just has to be Keanu. He's like one of the most beloved figures in Hollywood.
It's insane that he's so big
now.
And so like, famous. Yeah. And like... Everyone else is in this movie with him.
Yeah. I thought their daughters were that was like the more fun kind of plot. But the movie does eventually hit a pace where it's really good, but it's like when there's like 20 minutes of the movie left. I was like, oh, this is actually really fun.
When they get death, go back to Earth.
Yeah, they like
or whatever spoilers. Then,
yeah, there's spoilers for Bill and Ted Face the Music from this point forward.
So the third movie to come out after COVID, after Sonic.
Yes, but okay.
And Bill and Ted.
So I'm watching this movie.
this is so good.
And I was texting Angus while watching it.
We do it all the time. We are the Bill and Ted of podcasting.
And so I'm watching it, and at one point they go to Bill and Ted visit a future version of themselves, and they appear to be rockers who have made it, and they're living in a mansion. And so there's all these scenes in a mansion, and it's the mansion that we eventually find out actually belongs to Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters.
In California.
Great, great, great cameo. But the mansion looked really familiar to me. And I texted Angus. I was like, dude, is this the mansion from Capone?
I love that. No, Capote. Capone. I still keep calling it Capote.
Do you want me to call it Fonzo?
Yeah, Fonzo. Let's call it by what the Josh Trank wanted it to
be. So, yeah, we earlier this year watched Josh Trank, most famous for directing the dog shit movie
Fantastic Four.
Fan-four-stick.
And then, like...
And then being kicked off Star Wars because
then,
of
like,
how bad it was.
Sleeping with guns and having 20 dogs or something. Isn't that what he did eventually?
Yeah.
He went, like, crazy. Towards the end of Fantastic Four, right?
Yeah, yeah, who knows? Yeah. Who knows if maybe he was a shithead from the get-go. But
you read that article.
He's charming, though. I find there's something endearing about him.
A man that likes vaping that much to talk about it more than the he's promoting?
He convinced Tom Hardy to be in Capone because they both loved vaping.
That to me is like one of... That's better than... like Harrison Ford was building the set and then like auditioned for Star Wars. Like that's the now's version of that.
So the entirety of Capone is set in a mansion, which Capone is at this point is Al Capone, the famous outlaw. And he's on house arrest essentially.
Yeah.
He can't leave this mansion. He's losing his mind.
It's great.
Tom Hardy plays him. I've seen Tom Hardy shit his pants
so many times.
Three times in this mansion.
Actually, I wonder what Tom Hardy would have to say about pissing yourself or shitting yourself.
My mind should have immediately gone to Capone. You're right.
But he's not controlled. I mean, he loses the power move.
So no respect then.
I have no respect.
He does piss himself well in that movie.
And I think that was slightly more controlled.
Yeah.
Controlled piss is so good. I'm just thinking about it still.
So I actually picked it. I was like, I think this... I'm pretty sure this is the mansion from Capone.
Now, I don't know how you got that given the like...
It's the same. Minimal. There are so many shots of both mansions from the same.
I guess the hallways were very... I don't know. I could see Linda Cardellini yelling Fonzo in some of those hallways.
I Googled Bill and Ted Capone.
It's so funny.
So you knew that Bill and Ted Face the Music was filmed in New Orleans.
Yeah. I guess any movie that's not a Marvel movie or like Star Wars is just shot in New Orleans now, right? Because the tax break is so crazy.
So I found a website called Atlas of Wonders, which has an article from this month called Bill and Ted House Filming Locations. And the paragraph, the magnificent house where Bill and Ted seem to live in 2025 until Dave Grohl shows up, is the same mansion used in Tom Hardy's Capone movie. This stately home is located in the outskirts of Covington. Constructed in 2004, the 18-acre Italian villa features 5 bedrooms and has a market value of $7.5 million.
Mamma mia.
I can't believe that...
I can't believe you picked it.
I was, yeah.
That's insane. Like, Capone really left a mark on you.
I was, like, so proud of myself.
Capone left a mark on you. Like, that is so weird. I didn't think Josh Trank would know it would be the same. Like...
Yeah.
The
Tom Hardy, certainly.
The vape fumes in front of his vision.
The fake diarrhea fumes.
Yeah. They couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. That's insane that you picked it.
Yeah.
What was shot first?
Who knows?
Capone. I'd like to think all of them on set one day with a scheduling error, just like shit smeared Tom Hardy and Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves. Like that's nice. It would be nice.
Maybe Tom Hardy played Dave Grohl. We'll learn that. Method acting Dave Grohl.
I would like that. I mean, Tom Hardy's more rock and roll than Dave Grohl, I
very
reckon.
Very true, very true.
He wore, like, Eddie Brock wears leather wrist bracelets like Dave Grohl does.
Definitely, if you haven't yet, go back to our PayFam review of Capone. That's one of my favorite episodes of
the year. Just turn off this now and actually watch Capone.
Oh, whank.
If it's on your phone, do it. If you're piloting a plane, land at the nearest airport, apologize.
What a bizarre movie.
Yeah.
Such a weird movie.
I love it. This year's so funny for movies. Like, best actor will be... like Sonic, Capone, Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted.
it's going to be the wildest Oscars ever. I love it. The Oscars are a sham anyway, so I can't wait for them to be like exposed.
Just a parody, just a meme of themselves.
Yeah, just like exposed for how shitty they are. If I had a time machine, I wish I could go back and tell me not to give a shit about Oscars as a team because I don't know, I got into it for some reason. I was like, yes, I appreciate film, but it's all a sham.
Damn, bro.
If you like a movie, like a movie. You don't need $30,000 grab bag gift toting dumbass movie stars to tell you this movie's good.
So I also did not like in Face the Music how like all the marital problems is such a big part of the plot.
I was wondering though, is this movie isn't for young people, is it at all? It's for people who they think are like our age. It's for us.
Yeah, I mean, they've definitely...
50% of us are married, so maybe they were writing for you in that pit.
Yeah, I've never... I haven't, thankfully, I haven't seen a couples therapist yet.
Yeah.
I did like, you know, the actual couples therapy session itself,
very
where
funny, very...
Bill and Ted can only say we, not I.
I hope my wish was that they wound up together at the end. Because yeah. They are so in love with each other.
Absolutely.
It's the best romance story.
They didn't even get... Those aren't the same actors that played the princesses.
Oh, they're not. None
one of them
films.
Was Aaron Hayes from Children's Hospital.
They're none of them are the same in any film, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're not the same in two either.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, they're just like, yeah, he's women with British accents.
Yeah.
It's sick.
Yeah. But even though having not liked Station in Bogus Journey, I was kind of bummed that Station
didn't show up. Kid Cudi just yells out Station.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes no sense. But I also love it. Or are they Kid saying Cudi that Kid Cudi is Station?
His whole vibe in this is so funny.
Are they like, is someone holding an iPad Pro off camera just with his lines? Because he's so just reading his way through this.
You know, he asked me to be his DJ once.
Damn. You could have been on Kid See Ghost. Yeah. That's sick. But it is funny that Kid Cudi's in it. Like, do you think that was, in the script?
He's like the first recognizable face in this movie.
Do you think that in the script it was just like artist, rapper, modern artist, and they were just Black like who they could get?
Yeah, yeah.
And it like was Cudi. And was he the first choice or the sixth choice? I mean, it's I wonder.
Yeah.
Do you think they just kept changing it as this movie was in development? Like, it was riff-raff once.
I guess, like, there are a lot of, like, yeah, like LA comedy types. And I know he was, you know,
he was in Entourage, the film?
He was in How to Make It in America.
How to Make America, Entourage, the movie.
And he was also the musical guest on Comedy Bang Bang.
Yeah. I mean, Cutter's got some Reggie acting. Watts he's Cutter. He's left. Acting teeth, I believe. The Hollywood phrase would go. But yeah, he had a charm to him.
I found a lot of this movie boring, but then it eventually got good, and then it ends on like a sweet, maybe too saccharine, but I couldn't fault it for trying to be a big, uplifting, positive ending.
Yeah, it didn't need to be made, but whatever, it is made because...
Yeah, totally.
It's here.
It's one of those things where like, I feel like it could, if you made it for like less budget and just didn't worry about it being a hit...
Yeah,
you could have made a really cool, weird movie about these now guys now being old.
It's not weird enough.
Yeah, totally.
But the second one introduces how weird it can get.
I don't know if you can do weirdness like those movies are weird anymore, though. Like,
I think a lot of them are like a result of their budget as well. Like the weirdness in the first one, I find is like budget result.
Like all the crappy CGI when they're going from time, or like when they
and just like the shitty robots that they build, and like the Terminator 1-esque effects where it's actor pullback, obviously.
Oh, I love
skin.
That. Those
I love
effects,
it. Like, that's
those
what I mean.
Those work for me so
But then
much,
again, that's
yeah.
probably like just nostalgia for you and I. And like seeing those effects sends off signals in the brain that's like, oh yeah, this is of that time in my life where I didn't have a tax file number, which I still point as the moment my life got worse. Seriously, I can point it all back to when in high school they're like, did you have to do it at high school? They're like, this is a tax file number. You need to get it if you want to work.
Yeah, I think I got mine in 2002.
I just remember that was like just fucking the worst. I was like, oh, cool. Now I'm a number.
I had to get an ABN.
I was listening to a lot of Rage Against the Machine at the time as well.
Yeah, right.
So I was just like, well, now I'm part of the system.
You only wrote your E's upside down.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm part of the fucking system now. Yep. This is disgusting. I hated it. And I can pinpoint my like spiral to adulthood depression from that moment.
Damn.
And I was like, I'm here to like tell shitty jokes in class and write Blink-182 in the margins of all of my... exercise books. I'm not here to fucking work. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Just like Blink-182, actually big Bill and Ted energy. I don't think that exists without Bill and Ted.
Yeah, it was a cop out to hear Weezer in the credits. I think like, although
no,
you know
they
what?
Shred more.
Weezer
Rivers
embodied,
is like a Kiss fan.
He also Weezer like embodied the disappointment that is like
their career. Amazing first one, a weird darker cult second, and then just keep doing it. And that's coming from a Weezer fan. It is so... I was thinking even watching it because I guess I started thinking about Weezer a lot. I was like, it is so insane how like pre-Green Album Weezer is just like a different band.
Yeah.
And then there's like Green Onwards and you're just like, oh, maybe one every couple albums is like two good songs. And you're like, oh, that's good. They can still do it. And it's just like, I've never seen a band have like such a dip in...
And like all their singles rely on like a gimmicky film clip.
Yeah. But then their original ones did, but it was like before gimmicky film clips.
Like they kind of just, they saw what OK Go were doing.
Fuck,
and
you're
like,
so right about
too. Like
Weezer at like Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
It's like, it actually is a perfect
band
to be in this movie. Like you're just like, oh, you guys are still doing that. Oh, nice. And you kind of look the same, but I don't know. Your heart's not in it.
So we didn't really get maybe Bill and Ted doing like promo stuff is Green Album. So yeah, like Excellent Adventure is Blue Album.
Yeah.
Bogus Journey Pink. Is Pinkerton.
Because I'm sure there are people who are like froth over Bogus and be like...
Absolutely, yeah. There's like, countless people that reckon that's the better movie.
Yeah, because it's dark and weird.
Yeah. And then I guess
the music is everything after
that weird promo video from Nickelodeon that I sent you today. That's the green album
where they're telling you what dude means.
Oh, that's such a perfect video.
I love that.
That's
but also cool. Like extremely charming that they're in character and doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember the Bill and Ted cartoon?
Maybe that's the green album.
Yeah.
I did a deep dive
on that today. Do you know about it?
I remember watching bits of it.
So George Carlin, Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter voiced every episode.
Whoa.
Season 1 and 2 were Hanna-Barbera. Then they rebooted it a year later and changed it and had different actors and shit. But like they would go back in time each episode to get like a famous person.
Oh, that's,
and I remember
the theme song.
That, remember, yeah. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah.
It's outrageous. So patient. I like remember watching the shit out of it every morning.
It came out before Bogus Journey.
Yeah, sure. So I guess that's why it's so time travel heavy. So this is Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter were doing Bill and Ted shit for like 3 or 4 years straight.
Bonkers. Little Richard was in it. Phil Hartman was a voice. Wow.
Check out that. Look, George Carlin. Yeah, do you think that George Carlin was voicing a kid's cartoon?
I remember Rufus was so fucking good in cartoon form.
Yeah. You can remember him. He looks amazing. The goatee, the glasses.
And then it was Dick. I was going to make a joke
they
about
made
Dick
the next one and they just fucked it up.
Yeah, right. It was Tara Strong is the only known. Oh, Rick Overton.
And do you remember the video games? I remember playing Bill and Ted's Excellent Game Boy Adventure.
Yeah, I remember the Game Boy one.
Which was like
just
insane.
All of those shitty licensed games where it's like
just a
weird platformer with like...
Yeah.
Just like random assortment Bizarre. Of things, enemies, yeah. But yeah, you visited different time periods as Bill and Ted,
yeah,
right?
You had to like get like a Pharaoh or Abraham Lincoln or something.
My God. The first episode of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures was called One Sweet and Sour Chinese Adventure to Go. Bill and Ted play loud rock and roll music and accidentally break a Chinese vase. To avoid getting in trouble, the dudes use their trusty phone booth time machine to go to ancient China to find a replacement where they also meet the famous Italian explorer Marco Polo.
Oh, Mia. Look at this next one. Bill and Ted are flunking music appreciation and giving an assignment about classical music, end up meeting personalities such as Mozart and Little Richard. Yeah, I remember all that. It used to be just on daily, remember?
Yeah, that's so funny.
Isn't it weird that like then that you'd be like serial television show games?
Yeah,
like,
wow.
For a movie like this. Like, they didn't make American Pie on Nintendo 64. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, I know it's like a totally different movie, but... I don't know. I guess we were too young to remember. Like, how big was Bill and Ted's cultural impact? Like, I don't think of it in the same vein.
I think it was big until Wayne's World. Wayne's World was like. I guess if you're an older person or like you know someone who
Bill
doesn't
and Ted, you're
isn't a comedy fan, you just see. Oh, it's just
two dudes
making jokes, and it's vaguely related to music.
But they're so different. Like,
so Wayne's World was the new Bill and Ted.
Wayne's World's like. Also, like SNL, like you know, has like a different trajectory, I guess. But Bill and Ted's like time travel, like it's so weird.
Yeah.
It's like far more 80s movie, like a Gremlins vibe, where
yes,
you're like, oh, they just couldn't make.
That's why
that
I
now.
Always preferred it. I always loved.
Yeah, you're just like they couldn't make this now. In fact, I said to you, I think Bogus Journey had big Gremlins 2 vibes, where they're just like,
yeah, but
oh, whatever.
Yeah,
no, they're different.
Gremlins 2, I think, is more faithful to the first one, and then it does like just
weird
insane
shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
This one was just like, yeah, whatever.
I think Station is bad, stupid.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't think anything in Gremlins 2 is
no
is bad, stupid.
Station
it's
just is
good,
just,
stupid,
I don't
good,
like
stupid
Station.
All the way through.
And I wonder how much is Australian Gobbledock. Stolen
yeah,
Bella.
Yeah, he legitimately looks like something you would see on the Alf ride.
He just looks ugly. He looks like one of those shit things in like one of those. Adult Jim Henson
or when
movies.
He like runs into each other and
it just becomes
gross,
like
pulsating
goo, like
blob
yeah.
Yeah. So I mean I would still
but I do like it's funny they're in heaven or an afterlife but it's like for people from all over the universe. I do like that where they're just like oh
yes.
We need a scientist and
yeah,
they're like
yeah.
Oh then why do you think the best scientists came from Earth? And you're just like fuck this movie's so weird. And they spend the most of it like I'd say like more than a half almost in like close to black and white face makeup being dead.
Yes.
Like they're dead for such a chunk of the movie.
And
it's
I love
so
the weird effect on their voice.
Yeah.
Where and all the sound, even their footsteps. It like, yeah, like
yeah.
Has this weird backwards
it's just
echo.
So weird to be like, oh, let's take the characters and make them dead for like a huge chunk.
Yeah. Totally.
I was like, this is so weird.
So weird.
It is Majora's Mask more, I guess, than Gremlins
and how fucked the robots are. Like, get over here and put out. Like,
and just eating and throwing food everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. I love that.
That was fun seeing them be dickheads because it made you realize Bill and Ted are good dudes.
Yes, definitely.
They're not like meathead motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And when they call up and they're like, we're breaking up with you and imitating the girls.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so sick. Circle K, also big vibes. There was one near me growing up.
Yeah.
Circle K reminds me of like Bali in Japan. Or anyway, like in Southeast Asia, there's like Circle K still.
Just convenience stores, yeah.
Yeah. I should have done a deep dive on Circle K. That's actually more us than following the films. I'm going to look at that right now.
I would definitely, I think I'm sure your rank is the same, but I would
one,
say
two, three.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's 1, 2, 3.
I'd
so cool.
3 just felt like a telemovie to me, like a pretty like innocent.
Yeah, I feel like there were parts I liked, but then I'm like, I have spent days with these people.
Yeah, totally.
Like I like the brother marrying the mom and carrying on like that shitty joke, Missy. Which they, you know, is such a bad joke that like your mom's a slut. But also like it was like, oh okay.
I love it in the first movie though, how like
it's the best.
How Bill's dad like, remember gives him $20
and yeah, just like, and, like, and
closes room. The door.
Bill's dad's woke as hell. Bill's dad is like not a slut shamer.
Yeah, yeah.
Sticking up for the kids. It's Ted's dad. Circle K. Okay, wow. So there's a circle on a store locator isn't in Australia. Canadian.
Canadian.
Yeah.
Canadian
maybe they shot the first one in Canada. Maybe there's some tax break shit. Maybe none of these films have been made in California. Isn't that a scary thing?
Maybe Capone's in all of them. So yeah, like I said, the two screenwriters of the Bill and Ted movies are Ed Solomon and Chris Matheson.
Oh yeah, what do these guys do?
Chris Matheson, he's written less movies. Still some pretty like interesting entries in his filmography. He's one of the screenwriters credited to A Goofy Movie.
Oh, yeah.
The rest of them are like real funny, like just like bootleg sounding versions of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. You've got Mom and Dad Save the World.
Cool.
Stepsister from Planet Weird.
Mad.
Evil Alien Conquerors.
Tight. Imagine that.
And Rapturepalooza.
Yeah, they all sound horrible.
Now, the much more successful, though, is Ed Solomon.
Sure.
And I don't want you to read. I want to shock you with all the ones that he's written.
Okay.
So, this wasn't... Bill and Ted was Chris Matheson's first movie that he wrote, but Ed Solomon cut his teeth on Revenge of the Nerds 2, Nerds in Paradise. He is one of the screenwriters of Super Mario Brothers.
Very cool. Okay.
He is.
That's mad. I think that's a good film.
He's one of the screenwriters of, uncredited screenwriters of X-Men.
Uncredited?
Yes.
Wasn't that everyone wrote that?
Because yeah,
it was in development. Joss Whedon wrote it.
He also is one of the co-writers of Charlie's Angels.
Full Throttle or the OG?
The OG.
Cool.
And like lots of other like, you know, kind of goofy movies until he has written, he's one of three screenwriters of the first Now You See Me movie and one of two screenwriters of the second Now You See Me movie. I assume so. But yeah,
the guy who wrote Station and created, also wrote the card scene.
Yes. The guy who created Bill and Ted wrote Now You See Me and Now You See Me 2.
Let's do a re-ranking. Bill and Ted 1, 2, and 3, or the card scene from Now You See Me 2.
Straight up. Like, I'm so upset that like in a franchise where you can visit other dimensions.
Why didn't they visit Now You See Me?
Go visit. They're like, we need someone.
But think about that card scene for a minute. It's like one of my favorite. I still think that it's like my happiest pre-COVID memory from this year is seeing the card scene.
Dude, we watched it during COVID.
See, it's so good that to me, it is like pre-COVID life. I've shown so many people that
I watched it after watching all the Fast and Furious movies.
Oh,
it was
that's
like
right.
The next logical progression.
I had so much fun watching those back to back.
I couldn't believe how fucking stupid that second movie was.
It's
so
sick.
Great.
It's sick. Harry Potter's in it.
Yeah.
Michael Caine. It's so sick. I might watch those again soon.
Today I was thinking of you know, Alphabet Aerobics by Blackalicious.
Yes.
It's like a rap song where he like does like all words begin with A, then all words begin with B, and it gets faster and faster, produced by Cut Chemist. If you Google that, the image, that which I did because I wanted to show Archie this song because, you know,
Alphabet. Wean him off numbers.
Yeah.
Get onto words.
But if you Google it, the image isn't of Blackalicious. It's of Harry Potter because on Jimmy Fallon a few years ago, it's
yeah,
like the most cringy thing.
Like,
he does it. He does the entire Alphabet Aerobics song.
Is he good
and
at
he's
it?
Like, he's like, oh, I heard you like to rap. Like, because Jimmy Fallon is all about enabling
the
white actors
you can see
to claim hip hop
from the like bottle of
from the roots. poor roots have to see so many white crimes.
Fucking hell. How do you think the Roots feel this year?
Hopefully they get paid as fuck.
Are they in Jimmy's garage just drumming still? Jamming when he's like doing his interviewing Lin-Manuel Miranda. Yeah. Imagine that, like doing asking Lin-Manuel about hip-hop without asking them.
No, he did that though. There's an ongoing series. I actually think this is worse than any of the blackface or Chris Rock
Jimmy Fallon shit.
Jimmy Fallon things. He and Justin Timberlake, I think, have done 6 separate musical videos.
That's right.
Where they do the history of hip hop, and it's just them like in suits rapping at the camera of like a medley of the most basic hip hop songs ever.
I know it sucks because always the worst people I know share it when another one comes out.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, ain't nobody clicking on this chip.
It's so annoying, and like they do like Run DMC routines where like, and it's the two of them, and it's just like
my face is so cringe right now.
Yeah.
Tenet and Bill and Ted, excellent.
It loops on itself.
Imagine trying to explain Tenet to Bill and Ted.
Whoa, I think they get it. They don't understand. I mean, because
they are time lords.
You tell me which of our friends is the most
actually
like Bill and Ted.
With all of
it's Noon. Noon understands Tenet more than
Noon
anyone.
Station.
Yeah, Noon Station. So let's re-rank the Bill and Ted movies and the Now You See Me movies
and Tenet.
And Tenet. Okay.
Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, number one.
Yeah.
That's still number one.
Now You See Me 2.
Now You See Me 2.
Tenet. Bogus Journey. Now You See Me 1.
Yeah.
Face of Music.
Yeah.
Now You See Me 1 has the best plot twist where Mark Ruffalo's like, I've wasted millions of the CIA's money by tracking myself for 3 years over several continents. That's my favorite ending to a movie ever. I just kept thinking about the amount of money he spent that he's made his bosses spend by chasing him and going, congratulations, you guys did it. Now you work for me.
Man.
This is the best twist ever.
Morgan Freeman.
He's like, I actually saved your dad. We were partners. Everyone, so I love that this shit trick they did in New York Hudson River in the 70s has like affected American history and like most of the world's largest heists. I'm so excited for the third one.
Me too.
I can't stop thinking about it.
Probably my most anticipated, like more so than the next Fast movie.
Yeah, I am too. Yeah,
more so than the next Bond.
I just know that all the production woes from the Fast movies make me sad. Like hearing about Vin swinging dick and The Rock and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I just get bummed out by knowing they're not like actually family behind the scenes.
Yeah,
but I could see the Now You See Me crew really tucking into like ribs night somewhere and just doing all the tricks they've learned like on the weight stuff.
Although I will be very happy if they bring back
Isla Fisher. I reckon they will. She was only not in the second one because she was pregnant.
Yeah, okay, cool.
With Borat. pregnant to Borat
Jr.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it, right?
That's a beautiful episode, man. I think that's the best ranking we've ever done.
Yeah, it was sick because Now You See Me.
The Bill and Ted movies, the Now You See Me movies.
It's what Bill and Ted would have wanted.
Absolutely.
We traveled back to the future to bring back the movies Now You See Me 1 and 2 to bring into the ranking.
Yep.
Also, Back to the Future, interesting time travel was such a big vibe in 80s comedy.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is definitely influenced by that.
Totally.
Was
it a parody of it almost?
Yeah, man, the 80s movies are so good.
Is it nostalgia though?
What is like the most, like, is Hot Tub Time Machine the closest thing we have from like the last 10 years?
Yes.
That hits, yeah.
Maybe, and this isn't the same movie, but just vibe, This Is the End.
Yeah. Maybe Attack the Block. Like,
sure.
Like,
yeah.
These like very 80s aesthetic sci-fi elements meets like.
This Is the End is for me just because the cast. You're like, this is like an 80s movie.
Yeah, you're
right.
Because
it's like everyone who's everyone.
Yeah, even Pineapple Express. Like, I wish.
Yeah, Pineapple Express.
Evan Goldberg and Seth Rogen.
It's because in the 80s, the high R-rated like comedy made money.
Mm.
That's why. Like, you could do Beverly Hills Cop and stuff, and it would make like, it would be the highest grossing movie of the year.
Favorite line in all the Bill and Ted movies?
The F word in 1 and 2. No, I don't know. I do like when they say heinous.
Yeah, for me, it's Bill yelling, "You killed Ted, you medieval dickweed."
That's right. I guess. I don't care.
Think about it, man. Next week.
Station. Kid Cudi saying Station.
Station, yeah, is pretty good.
Yeah.
That was so weird.
Also, when they're in London, I'm like, the Beatles are right next door. Like, you don't have to get Jimi Hendrix. Like, literally. Like, there's 4 of them, and there's 5 Rolling Stones down the road. Like, you're going to get one of them at least.
Also, you don't need a trumpet player or a flautist.
Also, why do they try with Jimi so hard? I mean, he's great.
Yeah.
But they're just really like, we've got to get Jimi. I'm like, yeah, he's great, but man, there's heaps of other people in 1967. In fact, some say that's like the best year of rock music. Like, you take your pick.
But I guess if you want, like, you know, Bill and Ted are known for like their wailing guitars and shredding, and Jimi Hendrix is the godfather of that. The song that they make at the end of Face the Music is
very
not even a song. It's so weird.
And then, I didn't like
and then
it.
Just cuts to Louis Armstrong going like,
very weird.
It's so strange.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Very, very. It's always like, oh, fuck, here we go. Whenever like a band creates a song in a movie.
It's the worst. It's like Rocker Stedford vibes.
Well, no, yeah, I guess so. At least Rocker Stedford, like, they...
I don't know what Rocker Stedford is. I just assume it's kids trying to make music.
Well, that's them performing a song that already exists and doing a dance routine to it.
Sure. Rocker Stedford vibes. I stand by it. School yeah, it's Spectacular. Always, it's always, remember
yeah,
that shit?
Yeah. Music
like, I had to go to that as a kid. It was the worst.
I used to watch it on TV. You know, I used to televise it on television.
It's the worst. My mum was involved, I think. Yeah, so I had to go. It was so bad. Though once, mom. I compromised by asking her to buy me Chef Aid at the CD shop
Hell
nearby.
Yeah, dude. And then you just put your discipline on and listen.
Seriously,
to that.
I think I listened to Chef Aid on repeat.
Say, everybody, have you seen my balls? They're big and salty and brown. I've been listening to heaps of Isaac Hayes lately and just getting so sad about the end of his career.
Yeah. It was sad, wasn't it? His so demise sad. Was really sad.
Such a sad demise. And like, then it came out.
Think Tom and Isaac hung out?
Maybe. But it came out after he died, like from like his son, that he wasn't the one that wanted to say those words about Matt and Trey Parker.
That's right. He was forced to by the church.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then they fucking killed Jeff off so brutally. He gets his face ripped off by a bear.
It is funny though.
It's
and
super
they,
funny.
And they
it's
made it up with like archival voice.
I know. I want to make love to your butt, children.
It is like very funny.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never seen like a creative team respond to like someone saying something about them IRL and then going, all right, we'll just kill you in the show.
Yeah.
Like, it's so rude, but it's also like very funny.
Yeah. I just, yeah. He was like, he's like the more like,
I'm going to make love to your butthole, children. She was just a pedophile. It's so insane.
The fruity little club.
That's just so insane. Yeah. Fuck, that's so
amazing
funny.
Episode.
And then just gets like destroyed. So graphic.
It's when his fucking face gets ripped off and
by a bear,
and
right?
a bear eats
yeah.
it. Yeah, after he
Does
falls
a bear
down,
fuck
a,
him or something. As well?
No,
Does
he falls
get
down
by
a cliff. No,
no,
he just gets his face eaten.
And never spoken about again.
Yeah, that's the end of Chef. Hey, that's the end of Hey Fam, but it's the beginning of Pay Fam because as
yeah,
soon as we hit stop on this one, we're going to record an episode all about Mario 3D Collection, Hades, Mission Impossible, and more. So come over and join us over at patreon.com/heyfam.
Why wouldn't you?
$5 a month gets you an extra episode of Hey Fam every single week, plus access to our Discord community. We got a bunch of new fam joining us last week, and you could
That's
be
crazy.
In
Why are they joining?
In Gremlins 2, the new batch this week.
That's good.
So come join us and we'll see you over there. Enjoy your morning. Until then, goodbye.